Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. This is Legion of News.
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A female jogger is groped by a stranger in Salem. World leaders are at odds over Libya's no-fly zone, and 100,000 people get Apple to get rid of a gay cure app.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this. Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2011. A female jogger was attacked and groped by a man in South Salem Monday morning. The woman told police she was jogging along River Road South just before 9 a.m. when she first saw the suspect. She said she noticed him walking southbound on River Road. Then police said the victim went down the ramp leading onto Wilson Street South, and that's when the suspect came up from behind her, grabbed her by the waist, and attempted to touch her in a sexual manner. The victim screamed and swung her elbow at the suspect, at which time he fled and was last seen southbound on River Road. The victim was not physically injured and went into a nearby business where she contacted police. The suspect is described as a Hispanic man, about 20 to 25 years old, standing about 5'9", with a medium build, dark hair and a buzz cut, and a long mustache. That makes it sound like he has kind of a Fu Manchu thing going on.
When you say he went down the ramp, is that a euphemism for something?
Maybe that's the sexual manner in which he touched her. He was going down the ramp.
Okay.
As the kids call it.
So he hasn't been found. All we have is a description.
No,
we don't know who he is. We don't have a...
No, he's a 20-something Hispanic man with apparently a noticeably long mustache.
Swear to God, I'll give anything if his name turns out to be Sanchez. I'll give all the money in my pocket right now to the charity of your choice, sir, madam, if you turn yourself in and your name is Sanchez.
American-led forces have succeeded in establishing a no-fly zone over Libya.
What does that mean?
Well, Rick Emerson, that's a territory over which aircraft are not permitted to fly. Such zones are usually set up in a military context, somewhat like a demilitarized zone in the sky.
So we're not allowed to fly there?
No, apparently no military aircraft.
No one of any kind is allowed to fly
no.
there? No. Well, that just seems silly. What is the point of us setting up a zone in which we ourselves cannot go?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. That seems non-intuitive.
Well, I think we're telling Libya that they're not allowed to fly there either, even though it's their airspace.
Well, that matters less to me because I'm not Libyan. So I guess it just seems illogical that we would create a zone into which we are not allowed to pass. It's like God creating a rock big enough he can't lift it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, we did it. We set one up.
Hurrah!
And the United States will hand over leadership to allies in Europe as soon as possible, according to the New York Times. Because we're very good at that, you know, it's just setting up things in foreign countries and then handing them over to others immediately. The successful campaign has not subdued Colonel Gaddafi, who continues to defy demands for a
Why
ceasefire.
Why is he only a colonel right now? Doesn't he run the entire country? Can't he just call himself admiral or supreme dictator or
Potentate.
Ruler of all he surveys?
Grand poobah.
Something. I mean, you would think that he would have advanced beyond the rank of colonel. I mean, decades ago, really.
Maybe in Libya, that's as high as you can go. Maybe it's one of those things that he only got as high as colonel, so he made that the highest thing that you can be.
You would think that just by dint of running the entire joint, you could liquidate everybody who opposed you. Maybe like they were, waiting for one of your elderly relatives to die, so you can move out of that card table in the garage at Thanksgiving. You know, you can move into the main dining room, but grandma's got the iron lung has to stop working first.
An American F-15 fighter jet is reported to have crashed overnight in Libya due to mechanical failure. One crew member has been recovered, and the military is still in the process of recovering the other. Amid continued fighting between rebels and Libyan force on Monday, President Obama said that Gaddafi, quote, needs to go.
I'm sorry, is that Obama won?
No. That was just in this particular piece. He says...
Really? That's the summation, the grand total of his statement?
That was it. He needs to go.
Okay.
He doesn't think the U.S. should be the one to do it, though.
All right.
It says, given our history in the region and such, and probably the fact that we're already involved in two fronts already.
Obama says
he's eager to extricate the U.S. as quickly as possible.
When he says, well, a way to extricate us is not to tricate us in the first place.
Right.
So when he says that he needs to go, is that like when you just sort of like when you're at a restaurant and somebody's kids are running around, you're going, well, it would be nice if somebody took care of these kids over here. Somebody who maybe was responsible for them was able to discipline them in some. I'm not saying anybody in particular needs to do it, but if somebody would maybe discipline their children, that would be really appreciated of everybody at this table right here.
Yeah, because it's like who is he talking to
when he says that?
I think he's talking to like France.
Yeah, France
and other people, and just kind of looking at them.
Second day
like...
in a row that you've cited France as a country that really has to get off their ass and go bring the hammer down.
Because Nicolas Sarkozy has said that they want to take charge of the initiative. Mm-hmm. They want to be in control of all of this. Sarkozy said that France has decided to assume its role before history.
Telling me that France is going to assume their role as a military power in 2011 is like telling me that Alan Alda is going to become a UFC fighter.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't have the ring of truth to it, is what I'm saying.
Also, the coalition of different countries that's enforcing the no-fly zone is like kind of peeved that France started attacks without telling anybody. And so they don't want to, like, transfer the power over to NATO now because France sort of jumped the gun and said, ha-ha, we will take care of this.
Did they really say ha-ha?
They did.
Okay.
They were waving sabers
at
the time.
Okay.
NATO's Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen criticized France for blocking NATO's action. And he also criticized Germany for standing on the sidelines, not doing anything, which caused both countries' representatives to just walk out of the meeting.
I don't understand what's going on here. This is like there's a $10 bill laying in the middle of the road and nobody will go pick it up.
Yeah, everybody's going, you take care of it. No, you take care of it. No,
seriously.
No, really, he's got to go. You do it. Meanwhile, France is going, we'll do it. And nobody wants France to do it.
Okay, why don't we go do it? There's oil there. I'm all for oil. You know what it is? I'm all for whatever keeps more money in Rick Emerson's pocket. So, you know, he seems like a bad guy, and he's got stuff that we could use. End of story.
I think
QED.
It might be one of those things like you're already dating two girls, and then you meet a third hot girl, and you want to go out with a third hot girl, and you realize, okay, I might be spreading myself a little too thin.
Well, I suppose, but that's when you pretend to be your own cousin, Austin. A little 1% joke there.
Okay.
All I'm saying is it doesn't really seem like Libya is presenting a lot of... They don't really seem like a massive military world power at this point. I mean, when is the last time Libya really caused trouble for anybody that wasn't armed with a stick and a stone?
I think that's probably why France thinks they can take them.
I'm just saying, let's just call it, if France can take them, we could probably do it by lunch. I mean, not like I'm a military expert or something, but I'm saying if France is really going, no, let us handle this when America, you know, we're going to send the Parisian forces over to, it indicates to me that we could probably have everything taken care of and be back in time for a late tea.
And maybe that's exactly why they don't want to do it. Because if Obama just went in and just wiped up Libya in like 24 hours, everyone would just put their hands on their hips and go, okay, so why are we still in Iraq?
Well, because, I don't know. Iraq actually seems to be spread out, and we seem to be fighting small bands of insurgents, and, you know, and there's upstarts and uprising and guerrilla warfare. This is just some guy.
Yeah.
Libya appears to be one guy and like five of his pals in a castle somewhere with some pop guns who are just going, no, we'll destroy you. And then they run back inside and hide. So, I mean, you know, it just seems like if I'm going to be paying like 30% of my, paycheck or whatever to create and then sustain a military, I want to blow something up with it. The hell are we paying for the military for if we're not going to just take it around the world and, seize baubles that are rightly ours?
Or if we're going to, blow up Gaddafi's house and then say, that wasn't us, and besides, we weren't really trying to kill him.
We never hit his house, though. We always hit the baby's room. Like, three times in a row we've done that. How much trouble could a baby, even a Libyan baby, how much trouble could it cause?
Here on the home front, Congressman Dennis Kucinich. I can't even say his name without snickering. I'm sorry. He says President Obama is committing an impeachable offense by authorizing airstrikes over Libya without the consent of Congress. Georgetown University law professor Paul Rothstein says the U.S. involvement so far can be likened to policing activities, not war.
More like the things that have not been regarded as war and as being within the president's power. But it is very unwise for presidents to do this without getting the permission of Congress.
It is. It's policing. Specifically, it's Oakland policing.
Rothstein says the president's approval of U.S. involvement to this point in Libya does not appear to violate the Constitution.
The president is entitled to take police action, commit troops, commit weaponry around the world. But if it is a declared war, he has to get Congress's approval.
That's awesome. See, if I was president, there's just a long list. All I do every single day, I would go to bed as late as possible. I would get up as early as possible. And I would, and I would just make sure that I was in fighting trim all the time, because I would just stay at my desk and I would bomb and invade and ruin and destroy constantly, like 18, 19, 20 hours a day, and then have a light lunch and then back at it.
You know, this would be an awesome way, though, for him to really, really stymie the Republicans at this point.
I got to tell you that my wife was on the phone with my father-in-law last night, and my father-in-law is a dyed-in-the-wool. I mean, they live in Utah County. They don't come any more conservative than that. And he actually said that he said he was thinking about coming around on Obama, about a few things. He said that they were, she said, because she said, well, what do you think about the Libyan situation? And how do you think, because that's what they, it's that thing, they got the weird dysfunctional relationship where they shouldn't talk about politics. So as a result, all they talk about is politics. And he actually said, well, I don't know, I'm considering coming around on that Obama fellow about a few things, specifically about the fact that he's been bombing people and blowing things up. That is the way to the Republican heart. So
yeah, so like if Obama...
It's a win-win.
The Republicans are in this position right now where it's like they've decided anything that the Democrats are for, anything Obama is for, they're going to be against. But the Republicans love to bomb things. They love to start wars. So if Obama just said, hey, Congress, can I wage war on Libya? They'd kind of be like, oh, we want to say no because you're Obama, but we love to blow stuff up. But you're Obama, but we love to blow stuff up.
So it's like some sort of...
Their heads would explode.
It's like some sort of global intercontinental duck season, rabbit season sort of scenario.
Yeah, it's like asking the robot something that like confuses the robot and then it explodes and in a shower of sparks.
Somebody says, if France can take them, let's be honest, we could really send in the guys from Top Gear to take over that country. That's what I'm saying. I mean, really, all things, it doesn't make any... This is back to that whole thing, the liberal, that whole liberal canard about how we're over there for oil. Well, if that were, here's how you know that's not true. We just go take it. Like, that's the thing. When everybody says, well, we're just there for oil, which is a thing people say when they can't think of anything else to say. It's like if you can't think of anything else to complain about, you pick on the post office. Why? Because it's just what you do, because you can't think of anything else. So you just say that we're there for oil, despite the fact that that's obviously not the case, because we would just go to... When have you known the United States to see something it wanted and not just go over and, like, kick over the hut of whoever it belonged to and just take it home? I mean, that's one thing we're really good at, is just going taking stuff that's not ours. So it seems like we really, after the oil would be gotten at this point. So it just seems like Gaddafi is sort of a guy. You know what he is? He's like Foghorn Leghorn, where he has the line on the yard past which we can't go, and he just comes over and he paints our tongue green, and then he runs away. And then we're just sitting there going, and then he's just walking away and talking to that strange widow with the kid that looks like Frank Sinatra.
Well, Dennis Kucinich, staying true to himself as a liberal.
And he looks like Batboy.
He says that it may be Obama's behavior here, his actions, may be significant for impeachment, enough for impeachment. But he's not recommending that right now.
The president is entitled to take police action, commit troops, commit weaponry.
Oh, I'm sorry, this is what cut is this? Three?
Yeah.
Raise the question as to whether or not he exceeded his authority in raising the question as to whether or not it was an impeachable offense.
Thanks, Dennis Kucinich. I appreciate that. You're
wow.
A ball of energy there.
Wow. Did U.S. Representative David Wu ask a woman not to call police after he drove into a parked car?
Yes.
In February 2010?
I don't know. I'm just assuming it's true.
Yeah, apparently he gave an interview to KGW, and they asked him flat out, hey, did you ask this woman not to tell anybody that you drove into a parked car? And he refused to answer it. So that's the news. The owner of the car, this was in February of last year, told 911 dispatchers that Wu had asked her not to call the police after the 9 p.m. collision last February. Asked specifically about the reported request not to call police being true or false, Wu said on Monday, everything went by the book, and I think the Portland police had the best report on it, and I think everything went by the book and was handled that way, and I'm looking forward to getting past that and going on to constituent meetings and what are constituent concerns.
I'm going to get a second job somewhere where I just sit and write headlines about David Wu that we can use for, the Mercury, the Tribune. You know, like, Wu's your daddy. Wu's the boss.
Wu, I don't have anything.
Seems like there's a Wu-Tang Clan joke there, if I could just come up with it. No, I got nothing. Wooville. Wu's on first. Did I say Wu's on first?
I'm not sure. Wu, do you love?
Wu, do you love? See, there you go. Right now, we just crank out 10, 15 of those. Yeah. Then it's like Eric Henriksen or whoever. You just don't even have to go to work. You can just sit at home and just write the article around the headline.
Well, the owner of the car, the person who was hit, though she was hit by Wu, who was driving down the wrong side of the street.
She was hit by who?
Wu! At 9 p.m. In February, he told her he had fallen asleep, and she told police, quote, I don't believe him.
Yes, well.
So, anyway, more on Crazy Wu. Apparently, he was driving down the wrong side of the street and smacking into people with his car.
Wu, there it is. I can't take credit for that. Somebody just sent that to me.
Oh, all right.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, March 22nd, 2011. If you want to get this program later on the day, you can do it via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here. That is at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. Also available on your mobile device. It is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program graces your ear holes, featuring...
I don't know.
Well done, Tom.
Thank you. I was putting the watches together right as we were going to air here, and I don't know what happened to them.
The watches don't even have wires. What's your excuse? I'm sorry.
Oh,
is it too soon?
Oh, no.
Okay. That's next hour of the Rick Emerson.
Just get it out of your system.
Radio.
Better than you sitting over there seething.
Radio program that'll be coming up by next hour. RickEmersonShow.com. RickEmersonShow.com. Still to come this hour, you have your entertainment news, also science on the march, and so forth. Here is Don Taylor.
A column published today in a state-run newspaper reports that Cuban leader Fidel Castro said that he actually stepped down as president in 2006, 2 years before his brother Raul officially took charge.
Raul, who, by the way, most people in Cuba believe to be the gay.
Oh,
there's
nice
a lot of
him.
Whispering in Cuba where they say, well, you know, Raul seems like a good man, but we believe he is gay. And then their eyes
dresser.
Narrow a little bit.
He's such a good dancer.
Well, every time
his home is impeccable.
He seems to but none of those things are true because every time I've seen Raul Castro, he seems to be wearing a tracksuit. So he looks like one of those guys that ought to be drinking like an espresso with his pinky extended in Brighton Beach.
Castro wrote, "I resigned without hesitation all my state and political positions, even that of first secretary of the party, when I got sick, and I never tried to exercise them after the proclamation of July 31st, 2006. He's discussing intestinal problems that he claims almost killed him. Despite never returning to power after 49 years in control, Castro said that people kept affectionately calling him leader, and he never bothered to correct them."
Uh-huh.
Castro continues to write for the party outlet Granma. It's called Granma.
Really?
That must mean something else in Spanish.
I would hope so.
And is thought to play a behind-the-scenes role in the Cuban government.
Is thought to play a behind-the-scenes role.
Raul formally became president in February 2008 and is also thought to be the party leader.
Uh-huh.
Like, they don't know?
It's like he's not even really... I was going to say he's like the Clint Howard of Cuba, but it's not even that. He's like the Ted Raimi of Cuba. He's like the Zeppo Marx of Cuba. I mean, it's like if you talk to... I mean... So having some secondhand knowledge, we'll say, of people in, you know, in Cuba, sort of how they view that power dynamic, it's one of those things where, you know, he'll be like Stalin, or he'll be dead for 15 or 20 years, and they'll still assume that he's running everything. I mean, at this point, he probably will die, and they will not make it. They'll probably wait an extended period of time before telling everybody that he's actually dead when he is dead.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as much as it blows to live in Cuba, I think, you know, by most conventional metrics, I think there's also that strange comfort of having the firm hand on the tiller. You know, that the guy in charge really is ruling with an iron fist, and so you know you don't need to worry about things becoming too unstable. That's the one upside of living in a dictatorship like that.
That's what a lot of people said about the Philippines. After the dictatorship fell in the Philippines, there were a lot of people who came to the United States to start businesses and things, and saying, "Well, you know, we couldn't stay in business. We were florists, and the amount of money that Imelda Marcos spent on flowers alone kept us in business. And once the dictatorship fell, frankly, a somewhat capitalist economy just couldn't support our business anymore. So now we're here."
Ferdinand Marcos, he dead?
Probably, because he's pretty old when
Imelda Marcos,
Fajardo,
dead?
In the 70s. Pretty sure.
Manuel Noriega, dead?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. Mm. I don't know. I would just keep thinking how hard it must have been to be Raul Castro. Because, like, your brother's in charge of, like, the whole country. He's the dictator. He's the guy for 49 years, and you're his brother. So it's like... It's always going to be like, guess who's coming to dinner? Who? Castro. Fidel Castro. No, Raul Castro. Oh, just put him down at that end of the table by the kitchen.
Okay.
Kind of sad.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Here's Don Taylor.
Police say a San Antonio Taco Bell customer, enraged that his 7 burritos had gone up in price, fired an air gun at an employee and later fired an assault rifle at officers before barricading himself into a hotel room.
Was the air rifle like a warning shot? Was it like to give them a chance to lower the price again?
I guess maybe he just wanted to scare the Taco Bell employees, but he actually wanted to kill the policeman. So I don't know.
Oh, I see. Oh, so he used an air gun at the employees, but then he saved the heavy duty
later
for the cops.
Later he fired an assault rifle at cops. San Antonio Police Sergeant Chris Benavides said officers used tear gas Sunday night to force the man from the hotel room after a 3-hour standoff. The man is charged with 3 counts of attempted capital murder. Brian Tillerson, a manager at the Taco Bell / KFC restaurant, told the San Antonio Express News that the man was angry that the beefy crunch burrito had gone up from 99 cents to $1.49. Police say the man fired on officers during a traffic stop after the restaurant incident.
It seems like $1.49 is a pretty reasonable price, seeing as if you go to Taco Time now, they got that crisp meat burrito, but that thing's running like $2.79. I mean, you know, come on.
All the prices at Taco Bell have gone up, and quite a bit, which is sort of sad, because the only reason you go to Taco Bell is because it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you only have like $2.50 in your pocket.
Well, and you're drunk.
You're drunk. You're like, if I don't eat something, it's going to be sad. And you have like a $5 bill, and so you go to Taco Bell. And now you look at it and you go, I'm sorry, what? You want like $1.99 for one of your crappy tacos? It's like,
let me just tell you one of the worst things about being a non-drinker. I mean, the list of reasons why. I guess one should not abuse one's body with drugs or alcohol is lengthy. But there are reasons, I think, why you should just sort of go along with the crowd. And one of those reasons is this, is you will inevitably, as I did, end up being a roommate of a guy who likes to get really, really plastered and then go to Taco Bell and then come back home. And then around 3:40 in the morning, 3:45 in the morning, you just get, he just decides that it's, his body decides it's no longer a tenable proposition to be, you know, maintaining storage of all the Taco Bell, the so-called Mexican pizza, and then he just goes and he just spews it everywhere, and you just get this fine, not even a fine mist. It's just sort of like a, It's like someone spackling with an air gun, except they're spackling with the contents of his stomach. And then he, of course, doesn't remember or realize, he's not cognizant of any of this because he's drunk. So then he just goes back into his room and passes out until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then it's always somebody, we'll call him Rick, who gets up the next morning, who is, you know, just walks into the bathroom just to begin his day with a, you know, with an AM constitutional, and he goes on, and then it's just, you know, and it's like a 7-layer lining of some guy's, you know, stomach contents all over the shower door. I mean, that's how you want to start your day.
And so that's just what you think of when you think of Taco Bell.
I'm just saying that if I was also drunk, then it would be sort of like a zero-sum game. I mean, we would just, you know, I would be waking up later on in the day. Yeah, I wouldn't be the guy waking up for everybody else and then having to either face a morning in which I'm dealing with a house covered in, you know, in dried vomit, or just sort of like leaving, you know, for 7 or 8 hours.
Or it could actually be worse because you would be hungover and still wake up earlier and have to deal with a house covered with dried vomit.
Yeah, no. It's...
And that would be even worse.
Somebody does note that if he had a gun, why couldn't he just ask for the burritos for free? That's a good point.
Yeah, that is.
It seems like if you don't want to pay $1.47, but you've got an assault rifle and you're willing to use it, that's a problem that works itself out pretty easily, like in less than one step.
It wasn't a dishonest man. He was just an angry man. There's a difference. He's not a thief.
Sort of a falling down kind of angry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do our science news.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at 503-252-1609, or you can go online to discover more about their delightful business and services at SquiresElectric.com. We should say for Rick Emerson Show listeners, which presumably is each and every one of you, because you wish to be educated, informed, and well-rounded human beings taking part in the rich pageant that is our time on this planet. On tomorrow's Rick Emerson Show, that is tomorrow, Wednesday, tomorrow around 2 p.m. on the Rick Emerson Show, Mr. Joe Squires is going to be in the studio to talk about all things Japanese and radioactive.
Good.
Because he's been on the show before to talk about, because he was, he worked on an engineer on a nuclear submarine, an electrical engineer. And we sort of led up to this for weeks and weeks, and he did actually go through the steps of how you stop a radioactive steam leak using just a belt and a mattress and whatever. Because it's one of those things you got to worry about when you're on a nuclear submarine. So he does have... And was it on the air or off the air when he was telling us about how they sent him to that training facility where it's basically a landlocked submarine, but it simulates all the conditions of being in a real submarine, and they would do things like have like a core breach or maybe that's from Star Trek, but you know what I mean, where it's like they have where they have some sort of like a fissure develops in the hull and radiation starts to flood the submarine, and they're like, okay, you got 12 seconds to fix it, and you've got a coat hanger, go. So he's going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about what they're probably dealing with in terms of the radiation and trying to contain all of that in the reactor in Japan. So that is tomorrow's Rick Emerson Show. That's Mr. Joe Squires, the man behind Squires Electric. He is a licensed, nice, bonded, and insured electrical installer, contractor, supervisor, as are all of his... His crew, his henchmen, his cronies, his minions, his lackeys, exactly. Also, you owe me a Coke.
Not toadies, though.
Not toadies.
No. Or lick spittles.
Is that a mushroom?
No, that's another word for a toady, a minion, a lick spittle.
Okay. You can find out more about Squires Electric by going to SquiresElectric.com or calling 503-252-1609 for your home or business. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier by just calling them or going online and learning more about all of the many services they offer, including repair, upgrade, and installation. That is Squires Electric, proud sponsors of this Science on the March.
Domestic cats may seem innocuous, Rick Emerson, but a new study has found they are the top killer of local birds. A study examined baby gray catbird deaths in the Washington suburbs and found cats were the primary culprit, responsible for 47% of predatory deaths, according to researchers at the Smithsonian. In some areas, the slaughter was so bad that bird populations could not rebound in the next generation. This is the first study to examine what fraction of fledglings die as a result of domestic felines. Whereas 440,000 birds are wiped out each year by wind turbines, the American Bird Conservancy estimates that as many as 500 million birds die each year because of cats. I hope we can now stop minimizing and trivializing the impacts that outdoor cats have on the environment and start addressing this serious problem, said the group's vice president.
What was the other thing? Turbines? So that's just being sucked into planes, right?
No, that's the
right, isn't that like a propeller? Isn't that like on a jet plane? That's a turbine, right?
Right, but also for the wind farms.
Aren't those? But those are windmills.
No, those are not windmills. They're turbines.
Those things in the gorge are windmills.
Okay, but I believe they're also.
They look like big propellers.
I believe they're also still called wind turbines.
A turbine is something else. A turbine is a different thing altogether. So I'm wondering what it is, because what, there's that business, that jazz in the gorge where they're talking about those windmills being bad news for something that flies. Is it bats, possibly?
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
All right.
When Dallas Wien's head brushed up against a high-voltage electrical wire in November 2008...
I'm sorry, who?
Dallas Wien's. Or Wien's.
I thought you were given Wien's like as his nickname, like Dallas Wien's head.
By the way, those
windmills... I knew you were doing this.
Windmills are wind turbines.
I knew you were doing this. You were doing that thing of like...
I was pretty sure I was right, and I wanted to make sure.
I'm going to start putting up like a little semaphore that is the I don't really care enough for you to spend any like... synaptic energy whatsoever looking it up.
But we want the people to have the correct information.
Yeah, I don't really care about the people so much as I care about me. And here's the thing. A, I don't really care. And B, I'm going to forget all about this in like 12 seconds. And you're going to have to remind me again like the next time this comes up.
Right. But the next time it comes up, though, I'll know for a fact that I was right.
Yeah, but everybody will still think you're fabricating it.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, Dallas might be pronounced Wines or Wyans. I'm going to call him Dallas Weens because it's funnier to me. His head brushed up against a high-voltage electrical wire in November 2008. The subsequent shock caused irrevocable damage to his face. But thanks to a 30-person surgery team at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, the 25-year-old Texan now has a new historic visage. He wears the first ever successful face transplant in history. He's already talking. Lead doctor Bodin Pomahack.
He's the first transplant? I thought the first transplant was that woman in Britain.
Yeah, I know. I thought we had done full face transplants elsewhere. And I thought this was the first successful one in the United States.
See, this is why people don't believe you, Don.
They're actually saying that it's but the stories that I've been reading are saying it's the first successful one. I think because he can actually smell out of his nose and talk properly.
As opposed to out of his ass?
Well, I think that they
smelling out of my elbow was a real drag.
I think they were able to slap things on.
Tweed and mothballs all day long.
Well, remember we read that story not too long ago about how it was a big deal that the guy's eyelids worked. So maybe this is just the first one where everything is actually working. The U.S. Department of Defense footed the bill for the $300,000 15-hour operation as part of its research into helping injured service personnel. The surgeons replaced Wien's nose, lips, facial skin, muscles of facial animation, and nerves to power them that provide sensation. Del Peterson, who is Dallas's grandfather, says he is excited about his grandson's future.
Is this transplant?
Yes.
Beyond anything that I even thought would happen when he first received the injury. But this is fantastic.
Okay, what was the nature of the injury? How did he lose the face?
He brushed against a high voltage wire and the shock damaged his face.
How do you brush against a high voltage wire?
I don't know.
That's not a thing where, like, I don't know, you're doing your morning stretching or something and you just do a few 2 inches in one direction.
No.
Seems like that's an appointment brushing.
Might be maybe climbing a fence you weren't supposed to be climbing or something. I really don't know. Peterson says his grandson has a good attitude about his future.
He is determined to get well and to move on with his life and to make something of his life.
By the way, I don't know who's manning the controls at Cascadia.fm, but the official comment from Cascadia.fm HQ on this is,
yes.
I will read this without comment. The surgeons are taking much pride in their work by saving face. There you go. That's the official the official response by Cascadia.fm.
Thank you. The electricity's not on yet, but Tokyo Electric Power Company officials say they've reconnected all 6 damaged nuclear reactors to power sources in a big step towards bringing the situation back under control. While it could take several more weeks to replace broken parts and release the radioactive gas, cooling systems will likely be hooked up soon, diminishing the risk of an explosion. Still, spent fuel pools threaten to undermine the effort, the New York Times reports. Officials continue to reassure the public that though radiation levels are higher than normal, they still don't pose any risk outside of the immediate 12-mile evacuation
radiation
zone.
Radiation levels 25 miles away are 425 times what they normally are. Just FYI.
Don't panic. Don't worry.
No danger to the public at all.
According to tests taken 6 miles outside the area, radiation was found to be 110 microsieverts per hour in the air, a level 3,000 times higher than normal. but far lower than the 100,000 microsieverts a year needed to increase the risk of cancer.
Which I suppose, even if you presume that their math on that, about what is lethal and what isn't, is true, you then further have to believe that the government is telling you the truth about how much has been released. And I always just assume that the government tells us like 10% of what's true.
Oh, yeah.
So that whatever the actual level of radiation has been released is, in fact, higher by a factor of 10. So, you know.
Yeah, there's a nuclear power museum at Los Alamos, New Mexico. And I went there. And one of the things they have is a test you can take by like answering questions on a screen and pushing the buttons. It basically proved to you just how safe you are from radiation.
Uh-huh.
And just to see what would happen, I basically answered like the most extreme thing on every single question. Yes, I live under electrical poles. Yes, I have a radio tower right over my house. Yes, every single, and still it was like, oh no, there's far less radiation than could ever possibly harm you. You know, and that would be like if I was living like a mile from a nuclear power plant, like right underneath a radio broadcasting facility or something. So,
I mean, the good news, bad news is it seems like eventually the Japanese are just going to be immune to radiation. I mean, they'll just we'll just have bred a race of super Japanese that can't be irradiated at all.
The whole thing will be Monster Island.
Yes.
Traces of radiation have also been found in food from nearby farms, although similarly, levels aren't high enough to pose a health threat. Reuters reports the full weight of the power outages might not be felt until summer, when elevated demand is expected to prompt widespread blackouts.
Just think how weird their porn's going to be in another 10 or 15 years. I mean, Christ. They're already just humping.
But they actually have tentacles.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, that was actually going to be... I had two observations to make. One is... Yeah, I mean, all of their porn basically has them humping something that has like 75 legs and a horn. And I mean, given some of the stories that have come out of Japan in the last couple of years and their predilection for, you know, two things, science and perversion, it seems strange that they haven't just bred a tentacled porn star already, you know, in a lab or something where they just get some, like instead of a face transplant, you know, some chick, what is it, stands too close to a high power line or whatever. And as they're replacing everything, they go, hey, why don't we just stick some tentacles in? And you just graft, you know, some tentacles onto her area or whatnot, or onto, you know, onto one of their prominent male erotic actors. And then it's money in the bank.
See, everybody thinks that Skynet is going to start because we're all going to be, like, getting robots, and then the robots are just going to all take over and that sort of thing. I think what's going to happen is that Japan is going to have to replace all of their citizens with robots. That's why they're creating such excellent robots. And eventually, Japan will be nothing but robots, and then they'll just take over from there.
What do you mean, but robots?
They'll just, you know, but robots.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder how the Japanese would feel about sex involving Dr. Octopus.
Oh, they'd probably be all for it.
I wonder if they would.
Oh, yeah.
They might consider that an abomination against nature, though. Because, you know, the tentacles aren't real. They're metallic. And so it's...
That's not going to stop them.
All right.
When the NFL lockdown, with the NFL lockdown entering its second week, players are beginning to adjust to the reality of life outside the professional athlete bubble. And one grim part of that reality, I'm reading the wrong story, but that's okay.
Is this still science?
Yeah, let's get out of science.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me just... There's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. It says science on the paper.
Well, I know, and I wrote science next to one of the stories, and then I was reading the other one because I was thinking about butt robots.
Okay. Somebody has a question here, which is interesting, which is, why don't we have robots fixing the reactor? I mean, it seems like they have, I mean, what did all their energy just go into things that, you know, that play canasta with old people?
There is a company here in the U.S., I can't remember exactly where they're from, but they manufacture those robots that go into war zones. They're on the little treads, and they have cameras, and they have pinchers that can pick up things and move things.
Hang out with Steve Gutenberg.
Yes.
Yes.
And they sent a bunch of those, some of those over to Japan to help go through the rubble and stuff. After the earthquake.
Imagine that you're some guy. And
that seems weird, though. Sending robots to Japan seems, you know...
Redundant?
Yeah.
It's like sending strippers to the Playboy Mansion.
They're so busy making, like, sex bots and stuff. Apparently, they haven't made just normal robots that can go and, like, move pieces of concrete.
You know, imagine if you're just some guy, though, in Japan, and it's like you're already having a really bad week because, you know, you were in a building that exploded or something, and then you were dosed with radiation, and then you're there having to drink your own urine. you know, underneath, you know, a bunch of, you know, concrete and rebar for like a week and a half. And then you're just sitting there and you're thinking, well, this sucks. You know, I life can't get any worse for me. And you're just, you know, and you're just feeling really weird and disoriented and dazed. And then suddenly just a huge leering metallic face just burst through the rubble. I mean, you probably have a good long moment where you looked inside your soul and wondered if things were about to get a whole lot worse for you.
And then to add insult to injury, it's not even a Japanese robot. It's an American robot that's saving your ass.
Foreign robot, Don.
Yeah. Police in northeastern Pennsylvania say they recovered more than 50 bags of heroin, cash, and loose change from a woman following a cavity search. Authorities say 27-year-old Karen McAlunas was detained last week following a crash. Scranton police said they found 3 bags of heroin in her jacket, and after being taken to the police station...
So the kids call it now a jacket?
Well, that was her jacket.
Ah.
When she was taken to the police station, she told investigators she had more hidden in her vagina. A doctor performed the search and recovered 54 bags of heroin, 31 empty bags used to package heroin, prescription pills, and $51.22.
How big is a bag of heroin?
Well, they're just tiny. I mean, you remember The Wire. They're just those little
it's like a little
balloon things.
Yeah, so it's just, but I mean, still
50
of those.
54 is a lot.
And then even if it's folding money, I mean, it's like, even if they're not sacking away at dollars or something, that's a lot of space.
And apparently 22 cents in change as well.
Well,
so.
Waste not, want not.
What the hell?
A penny saved, Don.
So she was jailed on $25,000 bail on charges, including possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance.
That is the worst day to work in evidence control. That is the single worst day of your career right there.
Although, apparently there are no extra charges levied against her for having a cavernous vagina. But it says it was not clear if she had an attorney.
Okay.
So, there you go.
You have to go spelunking inside some crack whore to try to find all of your evidence to file away that day.
It's like a Kardashian or something.
Just sitting there with a miner's helmet and a razor blade, just wondering how much worse your day can possibly get.
That could be. It's like the world's worst party game.
Really?
Like, how many things can you actually fit in there?
Somebody says again, where are the robots to perform the cavity search? Where? Seriously, isn't that what we created nanobots for, so you don't have to go inside some woman's voluminous opening to try to fish out some drug paraphernalia?
Where's your fantastic voyage now?
And your God.
General Motors is suspending production this week at a plant in Louisiana due to a shortage of parts stemming from the disaster in Japan. GM employee Marilyn P.A. says she's irritated by the situation.
Okay.
Her name is spelled P-E-A-Y.
And she's irritated.
She's irritated by the...
By the fact that she can't get parts at the GM plant because, you know, everything fell over and was crushed into tiny pieces
right.
in Japan.
Right.
It's crazy because, first of all, why would...
I wonder how many bags of heroin she can hide inside her vagina. We should have a sort of pin the tail on the donkey game we play with her. Sort of a pin the heroin inside the... All right,
it's
let's...
crazy because, first of all, why would you buy parts from in Japan when you're supposed to keep it in the United States?
I love this woman.
I know, I'm just going to have to steal myself before we...
I love this.
It's going to take a second here.
Marilyn.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
Okay.
It's crazy because, first of all, why would you buy... parts from in Japan when you're supposed to keep it in the United States anyway. That's how, that means some common sense. I hope they're saying a duh, because that was just stupid.
That's crazy.
I'm having a little trouble understanding the nuance of, and in fact, the actual words of her. Let me just one more.
It's crazy, because first of all, why would you buy parts from in Japan when you're supposed to keep it in the United States anyway? That's how, that means some common sense. I hope they're saying a duh. But that was just stupid.
Is there something about the Kama Sutra in there? I don't know. I missed that whole point before duh.
I don't know. Somebody, a keen-eared Rick Emerson listener asks if this woman would like to comment on the fact that they're spraying the babies. I don't think I have that sound bite. Let's just one more time. I just got it.
First of all, why would you buy parts from in Japan?
Why, indeed?
You're supposed to keep it in the United States anyway. Yeah. That's how, I mean, so common sense. I hope they're up there saying a duh, because that was just stupid.
Okay.
That brings me joy.
Let me see just offhand if I have this around here. I may there'll be like a 50-50 chance that I there'll be like a 50-50 chance that I get this soundbite correct. What was her name again?
Marilyn P or Pay.
How do you, when you
it's P E A Y. So I don't know how you
Pia?
P P-A?
P? Yeah, yeah. No, I got, no, I got nothing.
All right. Hey. I don't
know. Yeah, this is just taking forever. Yeah. Yeah, we may have to just...
It's crazy.
Yes. Yes, yes, indeed it is. All right, I think my computer itself is actually resisting finding this sound. I'll dig it up by the end of the show.
Okay. Right. An Oregon man was arrested at a resort in Maui for allegedly helping a 13-year-old girl run away from her parents and then fleeing out of the state with her. Jordan Pratt, 20, of North Powder, Oregon, was found with the team in a room at the Westin Maui Ocean Club Resort. According to Oregon State Police, troopers had tracked the couple onto a flight from Portland to Hawaii and then enlisted help from the Maui Police Department, whose officers captured Pratt at the resort. According to Lieutenant Greg Hastings of the Oregon State Police, the missing 13-year-old girl was asleep in a bedroom. After awakening her, she was taken into protective custody and transported to the police station. She was subsequently released to Child Protective Services until she can be returned to her parents. Pratt faces several charges, including kidnapping, custodial interference, sex abuse, and unlawful sexual penetration. Police described the runaway as Pratt's, quote, girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Pratt was lodged in Maui jail and is awaiting extradition back to Oregon.
Fantastic. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Still to come, we got your entertainment news coming up next hour. The Rick Emerson radio program at RickEmersonShow.com. That is at RickEmersonShow.com. This is all true. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at LegionofNews.com. I'm sorry, did you say what we had next hour in terms of watches?
We have a Cheney watch. I know that for sure.
Okay.
And I don't know what else we've got for a watch, but I do have an interesting story about Christian pole dancing.
Awesome. So we'll have a Cheney watch next hour. Also another installment of the greatest songs ever made and so forth. Oh, and we'll talk about last night's episode of House. We'll do a little bit of recap on that. And we'll talk about the fact that you are now caught up on all three seasons of Breaking Bad.
I am indeed. And it's killing me, by the way, that I caught up because it was supposed to be starting again in March, like always. And they've pushed it back to July.
Yeah. Isn't that right, Gladys Pia?
It's crazy because, first of all, why would you buy parts from in Japan when you're supposed to keep it in the United States anyway? That's how, that means, so common sense, I hope they're saying a duh, because that was just stupid.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we was like, stop, you're spraying the babies.
No, it's different. I don't hear. No, I don't.
No. They may live in the same neighborhood, but they're completely different.
No, hold on.
We do not pay taxes for y'all to spray our kids in the face.
It's crazy because, first of all, why would you buy parts from in Japan?
All right. I sense a soundboard in the offing here. I'm going to have to create some sort of a mega mix out of all this. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
U.S. President Barack Obama was traveling in Chile on Monday when he addressed what he believed to be the future of Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm sorry. That was Obama. President who?
President Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. No, Barack Obama. Doesn't ring a bell. I'm sorry. So this is this Obama you speak of.
This Obama fellow is in Chile.
And he's referred to by one of these sound bites. This Obama one.
Yes.
All right. The president, you say.
Yes.
Okay.
Talking about
U.S. policy that Gaddafi needs to go. And we've got a wide range of tools in addition to our military efforts to support that policy.
Spa gift certificates. We could just ask him nicely. What exactly do we have in our pocket other than just blowing him up?
This is like at a radio station when you give away a prize to somebody, there'd be some sort of miscommunication, the prize wasn't there anymore, and they would show up to try to claim it, and it was gone. Or it's like, or just something horrible had gone wrong, there'd been some miscommunication somewhere, and you were just rooting around in the prize closet, just trying to find anything, just looking for, you know, what is this? Well, it's a very Brady Shrove Tuesday. We've got that, and then we've also got this. We got this Toby Keith car freshener. How about that? And then you're just looking for whatever you can find to put in a bag just so they'll go away.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, the U.S. Made it the leader of the initial coalition attacks aimed at establishing a no-fly zone and halting Gaddafi's forces. But the mission will soon shift to control by NATO, except that France and Germany keep throwing hissy fits and walking out of meetings. Or others with a participation by Arab nations, according to U.S. officials.
It's crazy.
Sorry. All right, no, I'm wrong.
Keep in mind, we've only been in this process for 2 days now. And so we are continuing to evaluate the situation on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is all true. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
Let's do our entertainment news.
All right, here's your entertainment news for Tuesday, right here at Legion of News.
Michael Lohan was taken into custody Tuesday in West Hollywood, California, on three felony charges: inflicting corporal injury on a cohabitant, false imprisonment, and preventing a report of victimization. According to police, authorities received a call that Lohan was allegedly involved in a domestic dispute during which the unnamed victim suffered minor injuries. He was detained after he was spotted walking on the street near the police station. According to the LA Police Department, he showed no signs of intoxication that I'm aware of and has been cooperative. Lohan's bail was set at $200,000. He is currently checked into Cedars-Sinai Medical Center after being treated for an unknown medical condition he announced while he was at the police station.
Whatever happened to that daughter of his? Wasn't she going to be doing some hard time?
Yeah, I don't know. She's off somewhere doing, I don't know.
You know, this is one of those things where the wheels of justice grind a little too slowly for me, Rick Emerson, because there was, I mean, we
she
talked about it.
She should be breaking rocks somewhere by now, shouldn't she?
I'm just saying, this is like the 15th time that they tried to put her in the hooskow for something. And then there was that, this is even before I left. I was gone for a whole week. And before I left, even, they were saying that she was going to try, they were on the verge of striking some deal, but it was going to involve some amount of time spent, you know, I don't know, lathering up other inmates in a shower somewhere or something. And then it's, you know, and she's just, not only has that not happened, she's fallen completely off the radar. We're back to talking about her deadbeat father again.
I think the one person that I have in this entire mess that I have any respect for at all, and you know, it may be misplaced, but as far as I can tell, is Lindsay Lohan's little sister, because you never hear anything about her. I wonder if she's just somewhere hiding, just going, I'm so ashamed of everyone I'm related to.
What is your sister's name? It's not Dina. That's her mom.
Yeah,
it's
Dina's the mom. I can't remember what her sister's name.
Are we
name.
Sure she has a sister?
No, she does, because
is this like on Buffy? Maybe you're just hallucinating?
No, there was a reality show that Dina Lohan did, but Lindsay wasn't on it. So it was really just her and the
right.
daughter.
Yeah.
Ashley? Is that her name? I don't
know.
No,
that's something.
Allie Lohan.
Okay.
That's it. Oscar-winning actor Forrest Whitaker allegedly owes over $185,000 in taxes. Back in 2009, the Detroit News reported that the actor owed $1.27 million in taxes. So it sounds to me like, actually, you know, he's doing better. I'm not sure what the story here is. He was in trouble once before for $1 million. Now he only owes $185,000. Apparently, he's paid it down.
I'm just intrigued by the idea that you referred to it as $1.7 million in taxes.
Dollar. It's crazy.
Yes.
Yes. Melanie Brown, Spice Girls member Mel B.
That is a scary spice to you and me.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She and her husband Stephen Belafonte are expecting a baby girl in July. She has two children from previous relationships. Her kids are named Phoenix and Angel.
Awesome.
She said, both my pregnancies have been lucky and happy and exciting, no matter what situation I've been in. This is different because we've been married for 4 years. We have a history together. We're best friends. We're in it together. And he's totally supportive. So she said the first one was lucky and happy and exciting, but this one is different because they're, I don't know.
Well, they didn't say the first one was planned or wanted or desired.
Oh, all right.
I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
One of the adjectives left out of that was happy.
Yes. A person familiar with the show Good Morning America says that Chris Brown trashed his dressing room and broke a window with a chair after co-host Robin Roberts asked him about his attack on the singer Rihanna.
That's hard to believe.
The person was not authorized to discuss the matter and spoke to the Associated Press on a condition of anonymity, said that security was called but not the police. Brown was on Good Morning America Tuesday to promote his new album, FAME, released the same day. During his interview with Roberts, she asked him about the 2009 attack on his then-girlfriend. An agitated Brown tried to deflect the questions and said, I'm past that in my life. After the interview, he performed and then apparently went back and trashed his dressing room to show his...
usually not the one deflecting things.
Anger. Yes. But, you know, we all hope that really he sells lots and lots of records and has a long, successful career.
And everybody makes a mistake, don't
they? Be on TV a lot and be a millionaire. Eddie Murphy will be honored with the Comedy Icon Award at the first annual Comedy Awards, which airs April 10th on various MTV networks, including Comedy Central, VH1, and Spike. Presenters at the event will include Tina Fey, Jon Stewart, Jimmy Fallon, Andy Samberg, and Stephen Colbert. Sandberg, Akiva Schaffer, and Jorma Taccone from The Lonely Island will perform the song I Just Had Sex, along with Akon on the show.
It seems improbable that in 2011 we are having, quote, first of all, if it's the only time it's ever aired, it can't be the first annual. It's just the first.
No, but they always...
It's really not the first annual until they do it next year, and even then it's not the first annual. You can't have a first... Anyway.
Yeah.
Also, how is it that in 2011 we are just now having a comedy award show? It seems unlikely that that's an accurate rendering of the situation.
I seem to remember that there used to be one, but, you know... Do we need any more award shows for any reason whatsoever?
Cue old person monologue 7.
God. Anyway, Entertainment Weekly reports that Stephen King is in talks to write at least one episode of the AMC series The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The hit series is produced by Frank Darabont, who directed 3 movies based on King novels. So, and of course, I'm sure he'll show up at some point as creepy guy at the door, you know.
What was The Mist. I'm thinking of The Mist, Shawshank Redemption, and Green Mile.
Very good.
Which was, how random is this? Green Mile, that was the in-flight movie on my way back from New York, or one of them anyway. I slept through part of the flight, but on my way back from New York, how bizarre. Like, that was, like, of all the movies they could be showing, they were showing Green Mile.
15 years old by now, isn't
it? And also a huge buzzkill. I mean, I know it has a presumably happy ending, but there's, all the mouse stomping and the prostate and so forth and the hey. And, it hurts when I whiz. It was just the strangest thing. It's like, I never watched the in-flight crap anyway. But I'm always paired next to somebody who does. Here's who I always end up sitting next to on the plane. I always end up sitting next to somebody who, A, even if they're not watching it, it's like they're fundamentally incapable of turning off any glowing rectangle or square that is in their immediate vicinity. Cell phone, iPad, seat back thing, doesn't matter. It's like they have to have it on. And so then they start watching the in-flight movie, which is fine, except then they're not watching it anymore because they take the headphones off and they set the headphones down, but then they leave it on and they leave them turned up at, like, maximum volume.
Oh, wow.
So then it's just sitting there and it's just kind of doing this, it's sort of bothering everybody in the row. And then one of us has to, and I look at the woman who's sitting on the end because I'm on the window, and then we have to have that awkward thing about asking the woman if she'll turn it off, and then you just never know if you're going to... You never know when you're sitting next to some Chris Brown who's just going to unload on you because you just caught him at a bad time or something. So I was... until I was able to sort of fish out my headphones, which were lodged underneath like 17 pounds of crap in my bag, I was exposed to about 45 minutes of the Green Mile on the way back. So.
Have you ever had anybody fall asleep on you?
Yes.
I had a great big guy, fall asleep, on me on a plane once. And I was actually trying to figure out if he was genuinely asleep or if he was faking it so he could, nuzzle my boobs.
I wonder
just
that a lot.
Hoping that maybe I just would be too polite to say anything. And I was wondering if this was some scam he's gotten away with on planes before.
You know who fell asleep on me? I didn't mention this yesterday, but I talked about being at the Book of Mormon, the musical on Broadway and when I was in New York last week. And there was a guy sitting next to me. And I think I mentioned he was some guy and he was talking to the guy in the row behind us because they knew each other. And he used the phrase, this is what I mentioned yesterday, that he used the phrase, well, if you have less than $500 million, you just have no hedge against inflation. That guy?
Yeah.
So that guy actually, and he was a huge bastard, just a massive man. I mean,
that was your opportunity to say, sir, I just wrote a book about economics.
I was just busy, wondering if I was going to get sucked into some sort of geosynchronous orbit around him because of his gravitational pull. I was going to become like Deimos and just sort of circle him until the end of time. Astronomy, Zam. But at one point during Book of Mormon, I swear to God, which is not like an uninteresting or quiet production because there's these huge, lavish, loud rock numbers and and choreographed numbers and show tunes, whatever. And he actually fell asleep several times. And of course, he's a big guy, so he's got the big guy flab snore going on.
Aww.
So he's listing 30 degrees to starboard, into me. To at one point, his shoulder and his face are sort of against my left shoulder, and he's doing the. And I'm worrying that at a quieter moments in the play, will I ever get to Salt Lake City? And I'm really worried that everybody's going to think it's me. And I don't know him. I've never met him before. So I'm doing that thing of trying to jostle him while looking like I'm not I'm going to reach for my playbook, my playbill down here so I can see who's playing missionary number 2. Wham! And then hitting him with my knee. And then he would just kind of go, and then right back to sleep. And then even after the intermission, when he would presumably wake up or have a little refreshment of some kind, went back to sleep in the second half. So.
You know, I suppose, you know, you're perfectly within your rights of to just say, sir, could you please stop sleeping on me?
Yeah, I know. But it's like, you never know who you're doing that to. It could be some guy that just, you know, has you removed.
I know. And look at me. I'm the one who, like, let the guy nuzzle my boobs because I didn't want to say anything. So.
No, that's why, huh? Okay. I understand.
It's crazy because, first of all, why would you buy parts from in Japan when you're supposed to keep it in the United States anyway? That's how, I mean, so common sense. I hope they're up there saying, a duh. Because that was just stupid.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And with that, we bring the curtain down on this, another exciting episode of Legion of News here at... That's worth your price of admission alone right there.
It's crazy!
Here at Cascadia.fm, don't forget you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here. Or at legionofnews.com, also on your mobile device at mobile.cascadia.fm. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in Gloria, Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kenokoa. As always, thank you for listening, and we will see you again tomorrow at noon on Wednesday for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Tuesday, won't you?